Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, you know, it's very hard to sit and watch something that you've cared about since you were a child literally self-destruct, literally die a slow death right in front of your eyes. And that's the only way I can describe the feeling that I get as I watch Raw now. I had warned everyone quite a long time ago that the WWE did not care about U.S. fans anymore. They didn't care about your input. They don't particularly care about you filling the arenas. It makes it look good. But they don't really care because they found out during this COVID lockdown that they can control every aspect of their product and put it out exactly the way they want it with no distractions from you. Now they don't mind your money, but they can still get your money. They can get your money through subscriptions to Peacock. Well, Peacock gives them the money, and then, of course, Peacock takes your money, but WWE got that money because of subscribers. Through licensing, through merchandise buying, through all kinds of other means. And what we saw, I think, last night, is that the WWE basically told everyone who needs fans. Now, how long ago was it that Vince McMahon came out and said, what has been missing here? You guys, you're the ones that have been missing. You're the key to everything. Well, that was a lie. And the reason that was a lie is because last night, they did not let the fans speak their mind. When the fans started to chant for something they were not okay with, or they decided to boo people they wanted you to cheer, or vice versa, they stopped you. They pumped in pre-recorded crapola and stopped you. In other words, they basically said, we are silencing your voice because we do not like what your voice is saying. If you do not like what the voice is saying, that's because they don't like what the fans are thinking. If they don't like what the fans are thinking, it's because they don't respect the fans. Otherwise, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Now, it started right at the beginning. Bobby Lashley comes out. Gets a smattering of boos, not that many, so they pump in some boos. The minute Goldberg's name is mentioned, the place goes up in a chorus of boos. And the WWE knew they were in trouble. So right away, as soon as the music hits, there comes the pumped in and even reverb added, by the way, studio verb added Goldberg chants. And before you know it, the whole arena is chanting Goldberg, Goldberg. And the camera is frantically scattering through that arena looking for one dude that they can say is chanting along with it, and they could barely find one because no one was. As a matter of fact, when Goldberg decided to try to use the microphone, which is a gigantic, huge mistake, and basically said, I'm Bill Goldberg, and it doesn't matter if I'm 35 or 25 or 55 or 105, I'm still Goldberg, and we're in Chicago, and we're gladiators, and you're scared, and you pooped your pants, and just ridiculous. Like, yeah, Bobby Lashley pooped his pants when he saw 50-year-old Bill Goldberg come out. Yeah, that's what he did. You know, this is the thing. They're so out of touch. They're so out of touch because in the old days, Bill Goldberg would have been required to turn that crowd around on his own. In other words, they wouldn't have said, we're just going to pipe in. Immense chance of Goldberg for you. Don't worry. These fans' opinions mean nothing. They would have said, I don't know, Bill, you're going to have to turn this around. And you know how Bill would have had to turn it around? By using a little ingenuity. And saying, you know, I'm not stupid. I hear the boos, and I know why. I know why. Because I was an overhyped guy in another federation who people thought had everything handed to me. And you know what? They were probably right. And it's a little late in my career to start earning the things I got, I guess. But this is one time I'm going to do that. At least the fans would have said, okay, well, maybe it's not so bad. No, you don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to get over on your own because we have control of the audio. And we'll pipe in anything we want to pipe in, even when it's a mistake. And we'll get to that a little while from now because they made a huge glaring mistake. Chance of we want Wyatt came up. And that was quickly lower the sound volume. All of a sudden, it's like they're talking in a library because the live volume is way down on the crowd. This is a direct slap in the face of the fans. People say, well, the fans were trying to hijack the show. No, the fans were voicing their opinion. You hijacked the show. You hijacked the show by not allowing the fans to voice their opinion. That's what I call hijacking the show. How would you like to be a performer that has to have audience cheers pumped in artificially because no one is cheering for you? You think that makes you feel like you're doing your job well? You think that makes you feel like you're earning your money? I'd rather just have them boo me. I can live with that. But when you degrade it enough to say, no, no, we're going to have to pipe in cheers for you. Whew. Wow. But hey, they got the little artificial audience, don't they? So they can do those type of things. When I say the Bill Goldberg thing was bad, I mean it was bad. And Bobby Lashley uttered not a word because Bobby Lashley could not care less. Bobby Lashley does not want to do this match. Then they had the ridiculous ending where MVP goes out and decides he's going to yell and scream at Goldberg's son. Why? I don't know. Why? I just don't know. And instead of maybe doing an angle by which Bobby Lashley attacks his son or something, which at least would have caused some buildup for this match, no, Bobby Lashley does nothing. MVP yells at him, and Goldberg comes down and gives him a spear that barely would have knocked down someone with a walker, and he has to sell it for the rest of the night. No fans are into this, but you're in Chicago especially. The fans are just not into this. And the WWE from that moment, from that opening where everyone booed Goldberg, Mike, they knew they were in trouble, and they had someone sitting in that audio awaiting orders for what to pipe in for the whole show.
Oh, yes, and I understand also, and you haven't gotten around to it, that they got the perfunctory CM Punk as well. So that's, and everybody knows that CM Punk has signed with AEW, but that's something for another time right now. I mean, yeah, you're right. They pumped in the cheers and boos and shit. And when the fans voice their opinion and said, we want Wyatt, what'd they do? And here's something else to think about. There was no reaction to the Alexa Bliss segment.
That's because they turned it down. There was a lot of reaction. There was a lot of boos, actually. And we want Wyatt chance for once again turned down. The thing is, all they need you for is to show yourself in the seats. They don't want to hear your voice. They don't want to hear your voice. They say, this is what was missing, this crowd, the enthusiasm. No, only if you do what they tell you to do. I mean, if they were being honest, at least the announcers could have said, boy, Goldberg's not very popular in Chicago. Why couldn't you do that? Why do you care? Have you fooled yourself into thinking that if you pipe in chant, it means that the fans are really interested in the match? And why do you care who the fans cheer for at this point? You know they're not going to cheer for Goldberg. You had to know that when you brought Goldberg back in. You had to know it. As far as the CM Punk chants, let me just persist by saying this. Those were dumb. And I'll tell you why they're dumb. You know CM Punk is not coming to WWE. That has nothing to do with your displeasure for WWE. That's just a dumb chant. You want to chant for Aleister Black. You want to chant for Bray Wyatt. You want to chant for whatever guy that you like that they let go. Or you want to boo somebody that you, they want you to cheer. I'm all for that. But why go to a Mets game and say, we want the Yankees? I mean, it's just stupid. That's just stupid. I don't know why people do that, because they're stupid. And that's not helping. The WWE doesn't care about that, believe me. You think that's helping that somehow to get the WWE to sit up and fly right? It's not. The WWE doesn't care about that. They've dealt with those chants for, what, 5, 6, 7 years? They don't care. The Wyatt chant they cared about. The booing of Bill Goldberg they cared about. That's sending a message. Chanting CM Punk isn't sending any message. Anyway, we find out that Jinder Mahal's men are going to come out and take on Drew McIntyre in a handicap match, despite the fact that one of them's 7 foot and the other one's damn near it. So right away I say, well, Drew McIntyre's not losing this match, so therefore these two guys are jabrones. They're 7 foot jabrones. How in the hell do you make 2 7-foot guys jabrones? But to add insult to injury, they hit the wrong button with Drew McIntyre's cheers. And you could clearly hear Michael Cole saying 16-time world champion. Well, Drew McIntyre is not a 16-time world champion. So they forgot to edit that little part out, where Michael Cole's voice could be heard over the overdubbed cheers for John Cena, which is exactly what it was. Do you think that's good? Do you think that's what a billion-dollar corporation does? Is that acceptable? That's not acceptable in a high school play. You're on a major network television show. And you don't realize that your audio track contains Michael Cole stating we're seeing the 16-time world champion when Drew McIntyre is coming out. And he throws them all around the ring like they're garbage. So they are garbage. Your message is these are just the Singh brothers on steroids, I guess. Okay, they're huge, they're big, but they're no better. They're no better. You could have done something with these guys. These guys are monsters. Why bother? We gotta promote Drew McIntyre by getting him in a feud with Jinder Mahal, who nobody cares about, and have him beaten up two guys who could be your future, but you don't care about that. And then Drew McIntyre does the most silly thing I've ever seen a face do in my life. He literally threatened someone with a sword. You're threatening someone with a sword in a wrestling match. That's brave. By the way, it wasn't like there was three of them, and he was trying to hold all three of them off. It's just one guy in the ring with him. Don't come near me. I got a sword. Well, okay. Wait a minute. I thought this was big, brave Drew McIntyre. This, folks, it's falling apart. It's falling apart right before your eyes. Because I'm beginning to believe that no one gives one single damn anymore. Vince McMahon's been at this a long time, and I'm starting to think he's just grown tired of it and just said, enough. Put on whatever we can put on. It's good enough. I don't care. Forget it. And nobody else there either, A, dare say, can I take the reins, or B, come up with a good idea. But to hear them play the wrong soundbite, Todd, during Drew McIntyre's entrance, that's unforgivable.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with that guy, Jimmy Smith, whatever his name is, said, that's the 16-time world champion. I'm like, Drew McIntyre is not a 16-time world champion. He's a 2-time WWE champion. Get it right, buddy.
That was not even live. That was on tape. Somebody hit a button when John Cena came out and got the big reaction. Somebody said, record that big reaction. We'll use that when we need to. And they forgot that you could clearly hear an announcer say that during that. So that was pre-recorded. They hit the button and said, oops, that's right. Somebody said something during it. Oh, well. Mike, I mean, come on. That's high school play crapola.
That is high school, and that's the thing. And think about this, Marcus. Think about it. We've gotten on Randy Orton for kind of being kind of lazy-ish in some of his matches where if he doesn't care, he doesn't put out the effort, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can almost deal with that if it's a wrestler, if it's a performer. But if it's an entire company doing it, they're getting lazy, they don't want to put out the effort. Well, it seems like it's the entire company doing it. And that's not going to be good. And if other companies are putting out the effort, what do you think is going to happen? Your rating's going to go from 1.8 to 1, whatever. It's going to continue to drop, you know?
It's going to, and I got news. Some of their TV networks are not happy. An executive from the TV network literally said, it's very alarming to watch a show that you paid this much money for start to cut their top superstars. Now, this guy probably doesn't know Bray Wyatt from A Hill of Beans, but he knows the name. In other words, he's probably not a wrestling fan, but he knows, like, here's your top guys. These are the guys we want on our show. These are the guys who are drawing. These are the guys who are, you know, going to put eyes on our product. And when they see one removed, they're like, what's going on? Now, this guy tweeted, it's very alarming to see this. And I'm sure they're going to have to give him some explanation. Some kind of an explanation. And the explanation, as far as I can deduce from any of my sources, is a very simple explanation. It was a combination of they want further budget cuts. Bray Wyatt was becoming extremely protective of his character, which he should have been. And him and Vince McMahon clashed about ideas that he said he did not want to do. Well, I don't blame him for not wanting to do some of these ideas. I don't blame him at all because it's destroying your character. We get Rhea Ripley and Nia Jax, and somehow Rhea Ripley screws up and busts open Nia Jax on the side of the face. I have no sympathy for Nia Jax. She's done it to a million people, so, oh, well, you know, now you know how it feels. It was still a lousy match. Shayna Baszler misses her spot to interfere, or delete with her spot to interfere, but manages to get it done anyway. And then they have a little falling out about it, and it looks like they're going to be persona non grata with each other. Here's the problem with that. Shayna's going to get thrown to the wolves. Shayna's going to be the one thrown to the wolves. And that wonderful, charismatic Nia Jax will be the one they promote. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Rhea Ripley has no personality whatsoever. Nia Jax has an abrasive personality, and the only person who really has an image, you've robbed of that image, which is Shayna Baszler when she was doing her shtick as this sort of bullyish, you know, overly aggressive MMA fighter. You've taken that away from her. You've taken that completely away from her. We then get Mason T-Bar against Mustafa and Mansoor. Now, this is a rematch, and I'm saying to myself, regardless of which way this goes, this isn't good. If Mansoor and Ali win, it really just buries Mason T-Bar. If Mansoor and Ali lose, they're just starting some momentum with this team. I don't know where it's going to go. Well, they lost. And it's going the path of Ali is suddenly going to be courageous and brave and care about people. 5 months ago, he was using people. Now he's not using people anymore. 50-50 booking. Makes nobody look good. I don't know what, I don't know when they're going to figure this out. 50-50 booking makes no one look good. That team could still be something. Both teams, really, could still be something. But if you're just going to do this with them, that just makes them both look like horses' asses. And quite honestly, it took the wind out of the sails because, of course, Ali is a hometown boy. So the crowd was kind of hot with Ali and took the wind out of their sails, led to some massive boos and CM Punk chants, Mike. And, you know, again, just I don't understand the booking.
I don't get it either. I mean, and again, here's something else that happened. Hometown guy loses. You know,
yep.
They've done it before. You know, they did it with Bayley and didn't help Bayley. So why should they change their modus operandi and do it for and have the home? I mean, you could have had the hometown the team win, but yeah, it would hurt Mason T-Bar. But then again, I want to see them change their theory on hometown athletes. You know they're gonna get cheated.
Mike, to make this work, it's still very simple. All they had to do to make this match work is do the reverse of what they did. All they had to do is put Ali in a situation where it looked like referee's back is turned or the referee's down and they're going to do something horrible to Ali, and Mansoor pushes Ali out of the way, gets hit with it instead. Referee wakes up, makes the three count, and Ali realizes he sacrificed himself for me. Maybe I can trust this kid. Maybe this guy isn't so bad. See, that's how you further that storyline, because the idea behind it is, well, he's a fresh green kid. I don't know if I want to associate myself with him. He's just getting in the Federation. I'm a guy who's been burned by all my tag team partners and everything, and I don't feel comfortable, you know, with this guy. Last week he won, and he really shocked me. And I'm starting to think maybe he's not a bad guy. And now look what he does. He saved me, and in doing so, he took the shot. He lost the match due to circumstance. And then you could have had that great scene where Ali says, you know, it's not so much we lost the match. It's what we gained. And I think what we gained is maybe a little bit of respect and confidence in each other. That would have been good, because then you say, okay, well, then that loss meant something. That loss cemented Ali's belief that Mansoor and him really can get along and really could be a team. That's the way you further that angle. Plus, the hometown guys would have been, you know, really happy because he pushed Ali out of the way. So they would have been, oh, well, Mansoor's a cool guy. And, oh, man, damn, those guys, they hit him instead. Screw them. Would have been good. They would have got good heat. Mansoor would have got a good pop. Ali would have got a good pop. And you would have got a good storyline out of it. Nope. Too hard to think of that. Let's just do 50-50 booking. Whoever lost last week wins this week. We then get Tamina against Doudrop. And I'm saying to myself, if they're ever going to make anything out of this whole Eva Marie nonsense, and that's what it is for the most part, total nonsense, if they're ever going to make anything out of this, the gimmick has to be that Doudrop is pretty much invincible. She's really, really good. And to me, and Eva Marie's just taking the credit for it. Instead, Tamina Snuka beats her. Wait a minute. Asuka couldn't beat her. Clean to her. Tamina Snuka wins. Doudrop is pinned. Her momentum is over. Alexa Bliss appears on the screen to a chorus of boos, which they turn down, and says, Eva Marie's the loser. Which later on causes her to get attacked in Alexa's playground, and the doll, Lily doll, gets to stand up on her own. I don't know, man. I just, at this stage of the game, I'm watching this and I'm literally asking myself, can they even pull this out of the fire? And I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, I always said on the show, no matter how bad things get, if you gave me a crayon and a piece of paper, I could write them out of it in about an hour. And I started thinking, as the show was going on, how do you write them out of this? And I said to myself, I don't know as you can. Because you've buried so many people. You've taken away everything that makes people special. I don't know how you get it back. Because people are sick of it. You would almost have to fire everybody and get new people. Because these people right now are not getting over with the audience because you've drained them of everything that makes them special. There should have been absolutely no one who could beat Doudrop for a good long time, and that's the reason she's staying with Eva Marie. Because despite the fact that Eva Marie is a bit egotistical and keeps interrupting her and everything, Doudrop has to reluctantly admit, hey, I'm winning. And I think maybe she's a part of that win, when in reality the fans are saying, nah, she's no part of that win. Terrible, terrible decision, Todd, to have two.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Dale. Like you said, it was just a terrible decision right there. And when Alexa Bliss came on the Titantron thing, I was like, looks like they edited everything out because she was getting booed.
They brought the volume down, yeah. There was a chance that we want Wyatt, and she was getting booed and stuff. Mike, how do you have Doudrop lose to Tamina Snuka?
I don't know. I mean, you're asking me something that I don't know. How do they do that? I don't know. But they keep doing it over and over and over again. And to a gal that has no personality, we've already, and is at times very wooden in Tamina. Oh yeah, she doesn't hurt people, and she's sort of a safe worker, but she's boring and everything else. And it's like, okay, you keep doing it over. And hell, I'll say it this way: that I'm gonna say that at some points that other wrestling federations are watching this stuff and saying, okay, this and this, and then they'll see this stuff and they'll see them chanting for Bray Wyatt, and they'll say, if the fans over there want this guy, then we better hire him. You know, that's probably gonna.
Yeah, if he wants to wrestle, he's gonna surface because they know he's a merchandise mover too. Look, people are asking me, well, how Doudrop is boring anyway, even Marie's boring. How do you get him over? I'll tell you how you get him over. Doudrop loses nothing. When Doudrop does have any questions for Eva Marie saying, how come you did this, or how come you're taking this credit, or how come this is happening, Eva Marie has to be nasty to her. She literally has to say, look, do you think a girl that looks like you, just be serious. How many girls that look like you make it in this world, honey? Show me all the models. Show me all the actresses. Show me all the entertainers. Show me all the even professional wrestlers. Show me all those girls that look like you that make it. You want me to show you all the girls that look like me that make it? You have no chance. No chance to make it without my help. You know that, and I know that. This crowd's not interested in you because to them, you're just some fat chick. They don't like that. Then the crowd would respond by cheering for her because they'd say, that's not true. That's not true at all. She's just an egomaniac who's trying to body shame her. Then you'd get some reaction for Doudrop. But you can't have Doudrop lose. And the idea behind it is Doudrop gets more and more confidence that, well, I don't know, the fans are rooting for me. I don't know. I seem to have a good relationship with the fans. Maybe it is Eva Marie who's the poison. And eventually when she drops her on her ass, then she's a big fan favorite. You're not doing that. So they are going to boo her. It's just ridiculous. Speaking of people who aren't getting over, Damian Priest, who they have decided to change from the Archer of Infamy, some kind of dark, gothy, you know, what do you think of when you think of Damian Priest? Do you think of some Latino playboy? No, you don't. No, you don't. But that's what you're doing with him. I'm the guy who cracks all the one-liners and comes out and I bully the bullies. Oh, it's just terrible. They had a horrible Miz TV, just a horrible one, because let's face it, he can't play this character. This is not the Damian Priest in NXT, and he can't play this. And this was not Punishment Martinez, and he cannot play this gimmick. So he's stumbling over his words. He's trying to be whatever. It's not working at all. No one cares. More people were rooting for Morrison, because Morrison at least has a personality. Oh, and by the way, here's another great thing that all faces should do. It's not bad enough that a face has to point a sword at a guy to get him scared off. But now you have to pick on a guy who's legit in a wheelchair. Legit in a wheelchair. Oh, and by the way, it's not bad enough that Damian Priest beats John Morrison once. He's got to beat him twice. Because Sheamus comes out and they start a match with Morrison and Sheamus, and Ricochet, who comes to his rescue because they just discovered he's still on the roster. And Ricochet has, I guess, no goals of his own other than to just keep aggravating Sheamus. Match made no sense. Neither one of the matches made any sense. The Miz is mildly entertaining, but this did not save this match, Mike.
It really didn't. And you're going to ruin the Miz. On the road to ruining the Miz, you know. The Miz was one of the few people that was interesting, all right? And you're on the way to ruining him, you know. And that's sad because, I mean, coming down to the end of his career, which we obviously know he is, right? He's coming down to the end of his career to the point of where they're going to phase him out and he's going to eventually just go and do his thing with his wife on the reality show or whatever, you know. But you're ruining him. You're ruining the Miz.
Mike, I tell you something. I was so rooting. There was one line when I said, please, please, do what I think you're going to do. When he says to the Miz, you have to use your best friend to stay relevant, I thought The Miz was going to say, and you had to use a rap artist who never wrestled before so that anyone would even give one damn about your match at WrestleMania. Because then if he had done that, I would have had him do that. And I would have had Damian Priest's demeanor change from smart, wisecracking guy to dead serious and just stare for a minute and say, you know what? You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And the next time you saw Damian Priest, he'd be a lot more vicious, a lot more aggressive. And they would have said, whatever the Miz said, it really lit a fire underneath him. Because I think that if you could coax Bad Bunny back, people might say, hey, maybe Damian Priest is really mad at him and say, you know, I did have to carry your water and everything, and you took the limelight away from me and blah, 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 blah. And that started the down cycle of my career. So I'm going to beat your ass. And people would be into it. At least it would feel real. This doesn't feel real. It just feels like garbage. We then get Omos versus Riddle. It's pretty bad when Riddle, who I don't particularly care for, is probably the best thing on the show. Probably the best thing on the show. At least he's mildly entertaining now. He's toned it down about a half a notch, so he's not quite as annoying as he used to be. I don't know what the hell he was talking about with bringing goldfish to the beach and then finding him back in the goldfish bowl when he got home. I don't know what that means. But irregardless, he's stuck in a match with Omos. Now, I told you about Omos, didn't I? I told you when they start having him one-on-one, you are going to see all of his weaknesses. And his weaknesses is he cannot wrestle. He can't sell. He doesn't know how to sell. He doesn't know really any moves. And he's not going to get over with the crowd. He's going to, as a bodyguard who once in a blue moon wrestled, you could have milked him for years. As a regular wrestler, he's going to get old just like that. And you see the crowd. The crowd in Chicago, man, you know, they want to see Matt Riddle do all of his moves and have a good match. And instead, he just gets basically squashed. And I know it's leading up to Randy Orton coming back, and they're going to have a match, and I'm sure they're going to pin AJ Styles and win the tag team championships. I get that. But at the same token, this does not do Riddle any favors. And it doesn't do almost any favors either, because the booing that almost got for beating Matt Riddle was the, oh, we don't want to see this guy type booing, not, oh, I can't wait to see somebody kick his ass type booing. If you're not going to sell to Matt Riddle, who are you waiting for? Who are you waiting for? You know, I thought Riddle would be at least the first guy to knock him down, but they don't knock him down because he'd probably have a hard time getting back up. This isn't going to work. Not as a full-time wrestler. You put him in a tag team and you just tag him in on a rare occasion, okay. He tries to do a match by himself. I warned everybody this was going to happen. This is just not going to work. And you don't want to throw away a guy like Riddle on this. But you did. Not a good match, Todd, even though there were some, you know, violent spots, but not a good match. And I don't think it helped either man.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about almost. You know, he got the go away heat, technically. And that reminds me with Baron Corbin had that kind of go away heat. And nobody don't want to see him.
Yeah, for a while, Corbin didn't have go away heat, and that, you know, I don't know. So far, Mike, I mean, the show has just been a total disaster.
Yeah, and think about this. We're talking about almost here. Compare almost to Shaky. You know, that the big 7-foot guy that comes out with gender.
Yep.
Shaky's a much, much better wrestler. Got more charisma. You know. You know, he can move around better. He does more. And I think he has more of a future than almost does. I know he almost fits. He's a big guy and all that stuff. But so Shaky, you know. And that's the thing. This almost guy, I don't want to say he's a failure, but we're now seeing his weaknesses, and we're now seeing that basically AJ Styles has been carrying him.
Yeah, he's not ready for singles matches. Even when you're in there against a guy like Riddle, who should be able to carry you through, and that's the best you can do, yeah, you know, come on. Anyway, we then see the rematch, another rematch, as Keith Lee takes on the NXT champion, Karrion Kross. And I say to myself once again, what is a good outcome to this match? If Keith Lee loses again, Keith Lee might as well just pack his bags and go home. Keith Lee wins. That means both him and Karrion Kross, him since he came back and Karrion Kross since he debuted, are exactly 1-3. 1 win, 2 losses apiece. Well, after Karrion Kross makes him look stupid for about 8 minutes, 7-8 minutes, Keith Lee ends up winning. Now, if you're Samoa Joe, you've got to be somewhere saying, wait a minute, I thought I was getting the rub off this. I thought the gimmick was supposed to be, here's this unbeatable Karrion Kross, undefeated in NXT. He comes up to WWE and beats some people's asses. And that's leading up to my big NXT match with him where I finally conquer him. After a really, really long match, and then he goes to WWE and starts his win streak there. And instead, what do? That's my feud, and you're letting other people beat him before me. That's my guy to beat. That's the guy I get the big rub off of when I win. Oh, no. Jeff Hardy has to have that. Oh, no. Keith Lee has to have that. Listen, I'm not against Keith Lee winning. Why do you have to fight Karrion Kross? Why couldn't Karrion Kross fight Ricochet or somebody else and on his way to Samoa Joe? Why couldn't Keith Lee fight somebody else? The answer is they want everybody basically to be 50-50. Now, I remember Triple H once said, you know, in ECW, the one good thing they had was you never knew who was going to win or lose because everybody was about even. One night the Sandman would win, the next night Raven would win, then the Sandman would win, then Raven would win, Dreamer would win, and you know, you didn't know who was winning because everybody was sort of 50-50. Correct. But they did that from the very beginning. And they had such a small roster, they had to. You have a huge roster. You need top guys, and you need to promote them, and you can't do it by 50-50. They're not even 50-50. Do you realize that these guys got a 33% win ratio? That's your NXT champion. He's been beaten 2 out of 3 times on Raw. And this time he gave him the big promo with everybody's going to die and the time sands of time are running out. Oh, yeah, well, I guess it's your time ran out. Terrific, terrific booking. One of the worst things, this may be the worst thing on the show, only because it actively hurt both guys to put them in the ring together again, Mike, regardless of who was going to win.
Right, and that's the thing. You're talking about the 50-50 booking. I'll put it to you this way. We're both pro baseball fans, and if you hit the ball 30% of the time, you're hitting 300, right? Well,
yep.
It's still 30% of the time. So, and if you're in school, as you're going into school as a child, and you're getting a 30 on a test, what's that? That's a failing grade. That is a failing grade. And so 1 for 3 is not good. You know, 500, I could maybe deal with that, but still, there are certain people that you don't want to be 500, you know, that should hardly ever lose.
And Crosby 5. And Cross is your champion. Karrion Kross is the NXT champion. His win ratio is 33%. He's lost to Jeff Hardy, who is at best being used as a mid-carder and rarely used at all. But when he is used, he's being used as a mid-carder. And he lost to Keith Lee, who got the floor mopped with him by Bobby Lashley. So what does that say? It says Bobby Lashley is a great champion. Karrion Kross is garbage. I don't know how that helps NXT. I don't know how that helps him if you bring him up from NXT. I don't even know why he's up. He's still your champion. And Samoa Joe's over there saying, what's the point of beating him now? How would you like to have that to happen? How would you like to be Hulk Hogan saying, oh, it's me and Andre at WrestleMania 3, but on the way to WrestleMania 3, Andre's losing 2 out of 3 matches. That would have took all the wind out of Hulk Hogan's sails for that match, right? It's what you just did to Samoa Joe. We then get Reggie versus Akira Tozawa, and I was like, okay, this is going to save the show. We are going to see some tremendous athleticism here. We are going to see some really good stuff. Here's the problem. Reggie is a phenomenal acrobat. He's not a wrestler, and it showed. And Tozawa didn't dare do anything to him because he doesn't know how to take it, apparently. So Tozawa had to stoop to just saying, well, I'll throw kicks and you duck them and I'll do this. And we'll do very minor things, very minor things. Reggie's not ready. This guy could be a good wrestler. With the body control he has, he could be a really good wrestler. But he's not now. And watching him get over on guys who are, like Chad Gable and Akira Tozawa, is like, this is terrible. If you really seriously want to do something with the 24/7 belt, give it to somebody who can wrestle. And yeah, no, I'm not saying get rid of Reggie. Get him in training, get him so he can take some abuse, he can do some moves, mix him in with his high-flying stuff and his flips and his acrobatic stuff, and he'll be really entertaining. He has a chance to be really entertaining because he's not too bad on the mic. He has a sort of a charisma about him, and he's very impressive athletically, but he's not a wrestler, and it shows. And for Akira Tozawa to be finished off with that one move, it's just like, well, whatever. So, Todd, you know, I think if they're going to do the 24/7 thing, they got to get it off of Reggie.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said, with Reggie and everything. And I don't think he's not ready. He's not ready to wrestle. He's not ready to be a champion or anything. He needs tremendous training. Just get the belt off of him. He's not even ready yet.
to do. Mike, I think he needs to learn how to take certain moves and things, because that's why the wrestlers aren't doing anything to him, because they're afraid of hurting him.
Right, and look, we thought it was a good idea at the time to put the belt on him and take it off of R-Truth. But again, you look at R-Truth, even at whatever age R-Truth is, right? Whatever they say his age is, I don't know. He looks great for whatever age he is. And, I mean, he looks 10 years younger, 20 years younger, whatever it is, for whatever his age is. At least he can take some of this stuff. I mean, Akira Tozawa, R-Truth, the rest of the guys who have been chasing around the title, right? Those guys are professional wrestlers, you know?
I agree. Let it. You know what? Reggie is a sympathetic character right now to some people. He's winning by luck, and he's winning by flipping and flopping around and not really being too combative. Find someone who probably is a little above the 24/7 belt. And by that, I mean someone who's a little bigger name that's probably above having that 24/7 belt, and have him just beat him almost to death. And clearly say, this is an acrobat. That's not a wrestler. I'm going to make something to this 24/7 belt. I'm turning this into the belt that it deserves to be. And idiots like that are no challenge. What would end up happening is people would be mad, because people would say, well, okay, you beat Reggie, but you didn't have to beat him that bad. You didn't have to do X, Y, and Z to him. That's bullshit. And now you have some contenders who are going to take it serious instead of being like, oh, it's a wacky belt. It's a comedy belt. No, it's no longer a comedy belt now. Now the guy's saying, from this point on, it's serious. From this point on, come take it from me if you want it. It used to be a joke. It's not a joke now. And I think people would get kind of used to that and say, okay, this is going to be good. Now, you'd have to have it be somebody who was reasonably able to draw some heat. I would have said Morrison, but he's going to get cheered, and he's more of a comedy guy himself. I think you need somebody a little more serious. I'm thinking Cedric Alexander. I'm thinking Cedric Alexander. Because then you'd have somebody that you say, well, he's a legit athlete. And what he did to Reggie on purpose, you see, you have to make it where it's okay. You have him beat, and now you're just humiliating him. Now you're just doing it to injure him. Now you're just doing it because you know you're way above him, and you're just toying with him and being a bastard. That's the way you can handle that. Then you have Alexander say, this belt ain't no joke no more. It was until Cedric Alexander got it. Now it's not a joke. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it. Now, Nikki Cross and Charlotte are going to have their big match. Charlotte, in the beginning, started saying something about Simone Bowles, and the crowd was booing her, and she said, wait a minute, I have a point to it. Irregardless, Charlotte Flair is still better on the mic than most. But Nikki Cross has something. I'm telling you, she has something. And what she has is the ability in the ring to look like it's not fake. And I know people say, oh, don't ever use the word fake. Well, predetermined then. What I'm saying is her emotions aren't fake. In other words, I'm looking at her when they're wrestling. And there are times where I'm sure she's not 100% sure if the camera's on her. The look on her face is very realistic. She's someone who really does, she makes a great underdog. Now, I know an underdog's not usually a good champion. And I know a lot of people said, they say Charlotte won't put nobody over. What about last night, man? She put Nikki Cross over. Well, yes and no. Put herself through a table. Nikki just luckily got out of the way. And yes, she did get hit with Nikki's new finisher and get pinned. So she half put her over. Let's see if they'll put her over at SummerSlam. because it's very easy to say, I'll put her over for 3 weeks until I get the belt. Let's see if that's what happens. If she doesn't get the belt, if Nikki Cross remains the champion at SummerSlam, then yeah, then I guess she put her over. Now, I will say this. This was the best match of the night. Hands down, it wasn't even close. It's not even close. This is the best match of the night. Charlotte Flair also has a good ability to make her emotions look real. And that's what gets you into professional wrestling match. When you say they really seem like they're, it doesn't seem like they're acting. When Charlotte Flair put Nikki through the barricade and screamed and yelled, I'm like, it feels real. When Nikki was almost crying because she thought she was seconds away from losing, it felt real. And I think Nikki Cross can get this over. She is very hard to understand on the mic. Very, very difficult to understand on the mic. She's going to have to work on that. Now, if they don't poison this angle by putting that belt back on, I know they're really good. I know they're going to put it on Charlotte. And I'll tell you how I know they're going to put it on her. Because the fans are chanting Becky Lynch, and she's saying, Becky's not here, and I sold out the arena. You know Becky's going to come back, and she's going to target Charlotte. You can just see it. And they're going to say, well, it has to be for the belt. But I'm hoping against hope that's not the case, Mike. I thought this was the best match of the night easily.
I thought it was, too. And you know why I'll say they're going to put it on Charlotte? They just fired her father.
Yeah. Well, he asked for his release. Let me tell you guys something, because I've been thinking about this. Let's go through everybody that was released recently. The Big Show asked for his release or didn't sign his contract. Mark Henry didn't sign his contract. He ends up in AEW. We have Ric Flair, who asked for his release. Matt Hardy, who didn't re-sign his contract. Christian, who didn't re-sign his contract. And Bray Wyatt is released. Every single one of those people, their last interaction was with Randy Orton. And even Braun Strowman. Well, his last interaction was in a three-way match with Randy Orton. Ric Flair was confronted at that Legend show, and he was told, you're an old bastard, and you're this, and you're that, and you're the other thing, and by Randy Orton, right? And he never got any comeuppance for that. Now Ric Flair is gone. Mark Henry was made fun of by Randy Orton and belittled on that show. He's gone. Big Show was made fun of by Randy Orton on that show, and now the Big Show is gone. Christian was beaten up on the way to Edge, if you remember right, by Randy Orton, who said, you have to fight me. If you're a man, fight me. And he just beat his ass. And now Christian is gone. Matt Hardy was given the ass whooping of a lifetime and is gone. Bray Wyatt lost twice to Randy Orton, and now he's gone. And Braun Strowman was due to have that feud with Randy Orton after their three-way matches, and now he's gone. I've just named you seven people whose last interactions were with Randy Orton. I'm sorry. I don't see how that's a coincidence, Mike. I just can't figure that's a coincidence.
I don't see it either. I don't see – there is no word as a coincidence in this fashion. I mean, obviously Randy Orton has power. I mean, we know that for a while because there are certain things that he didn't want to do and he'd rather have done – what he was doing with Riddle than do some of the other things that were maybe on the slate, right? So
yep.
There's that. And, of course, these seven people that just got fired. And what does that say about, again, yeah, they're going to put it around Charlotte because they know they can ill afford to lose her. But what does that say what does that say for Charlotte that, oh, your father's been with us for God knows how long and firing because he ran.
Well, he asked for his release. He was the one who asked for it. Now, in this case, the following people asked for their release or didn't sign their contract. Matt Hardy didn't sign his contract. He wasn't fired. He just refused to sign his contract. Christian wasn't fired. He just didn't sign his contract. Ric Flair asked for a release and was granted it. But nonetheless, Big Show didn't sign his contract. Mark Henry didn't sign his contract. None of those guys were released. None of those guys were fired. Those guys wanted out. Bray Wyatt was fired. And, you know, I guess Braun Strowman was fired. So those two guys definitely were let go after a Randy Orton incident. Now, again, is this all coincidence, or do they know something we don't? When Ric Flair says, I want out of my Legends contract, and I'm going to tell you right now, Ric Flair is definitely going to AEW. If Ric Flair does not go to AEW, I will faint. I warned everybody. I said, Tully's over there, Arn's over there. Man, oh, man, would they love to have a reunion over there. You know Ric wants to do that before he totally hangs up every aspect of his professional wrestling days. You know he wants to. Well, now he can. Now, Charlotte's husband's already over there, and her father's going to be over there. She may not want to re-sign her contract. Adam Cole's contract expires this month, and so far he hasn't re-signed. He only has a limited amount of days, maybe 10, 12 days. You can ill afford to lose too many more people. When legends who have to do nothing to collect their money, literally next to nothing to collect their money, are leaving, you got a problem. When guys as savvy to the business as Ric Flair are leaving, you got a problem. Because I was the one who said, you know, Ric Flair won't go. He'd like to go to AEW and do that bucket list thing, but his Charlotte's there and he's going to hang in there for her. When he wouldn't even do that, something's up. And I'll tell you what's up. They see the writing on the wall. The ship is sinking. I watched WWE religiously for practically my whole life. This is the worst I've ever seen it. I've not seen it worse than this. Yes, it's went through stretches where it was horribly bad, but not like this. This just smacks of, we don't care. We don't care what the fans think. We don't care what anybody thinks. We're just doing this for us, and we don't even really need the fans. That's what this feels like to me. You're taking out their voices. You're piping in artificial voices. What next? Your whole federation is based upon a lie. Fans aren't cheering Goldberg. That's a lie. It's all based on a lie. How do you think you're going to bluff fans? Do you think fans are going to sit home and they're so dumb they say, well, I don't like Goldberg, but everybody else is cheering him? They're not going to do that. They're going to laugh and say, yeah, ain't nobody cheering Goldberg in that arena. So why'd you bother doing it? Why? A good federation would say, we know you're going to get booed, and we're going to use that. MVP is going to say, yeah, you're real popular here in Chicago, Goldberg. And you know why you're not popular? Because people know you're a phony. And Bobby Lash is going to prove you're a phony. That's the kind of heat you want. Instead, they prefer to take you out of it, totally take you out of it. Your voice can't be heard. You're not chanting what we want you to say. It might as well be social media where they censor everything you're going to say. It's what the WWE does, right? There was nothing on the show that furthered any angle that I liked. Out of respect to the Charlotte Flair and Nikki Cross match, which I thought was a good match, I'm giving it a D. But it very well could be an F. Very well, because there were a lot of self-destructive things on this show. Mike, what's your rating?
It's got to be a D minus for me. And here's the thing. You got Charlotte's boyfriend that's already over there. We know Charlotte has yet to sign her deal. And we know that Ric Flair, I don't know what kind of no-compete clause. I don't know if those Legends contracts even have that. So if they don't have that, he could go like that, you know, to AEW. So we got that going on. We got Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman. You know, if I'm Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman and the rest of these guys, and they come to me and they say, we're going to re-sign you, I say, go fuck yourselves, you know,
yeah.
I mean, to the WWE, go fuck yourself, you know, and that's no joke, because all I have to do is wait 90 days or whatever it is, and anywhere, I can go anywhere I want to go, and they can't stop me, right?
That's right. And I got a news flash for you. If Ric Flair goes over there, and forms any sort of either a rivalry or an alliance with his former Horsemen buddies. And Bray Wyatt shows up with or without Braun Strowman. I have to watch AEW religiously. Right now, I just scan through it most of the time. I have to start watching because all of my favorite people are over there, really. I've always liked Swagger. He's over there. I like Jericho. He's over there. I like Ambrose. He's over there. You're going to get Daniel Bryan. That's huge. He's over there. How are you going to add Wyatt to the mix? And you're going to have the Horsemen in some sort of either rivalry or reunion? Holy mackerel. Well, you do then have the best game in town because, I mean, you got everything covered. You got all your bases covered. So Tony Khan would be an idiot not to put out some feelers to this. He's going to do it. You wait and see. He's going to do it. Wyatt's already changed his Twitter handle to Cult of Wyndham. See what that means? I don't know. He can't use the name Bray Wyatt, that's for sure. He probably could use Wyatt or Bray, but not both. So I don't know. Or maybe he'll just totally reinvent himself another character. I don't know. I do know that Alexa Bliss got a lot of boos last night. She does not deserve the boos. It is not her fault. They told her what to do and she did it. She can't help it. Now they're telling her to keep doing it. What is she supposed to do? Quit? It's not her fault. So you booing her ain't going to help. You want to chant, we want Wyatt. I don't blame you. But don't boo Alexa Bliss because, you know, that's just silly. She had nothing to do with it whatsoever. But what's your rating this week?
Yeah, I go the same grade with you, a D.
Look, folks, I wish I could tell you that I see light at the end of the tunnel. I see good things on the horizon. Remember when they said, Stephanie McMahon said, look, you wait and see. Now that fans are back and SummerSlam's ready to launch, you're not going to – we've saved all the best stuff. You're not going to believe the stuff we're going to be doing. It's going to change the whole ball game. Well, man, you better do it quick, and I don't see what it could possibly be. Because rather than me getting more interested in Raw and staying interested in SmackDown, you're making me less interested in Raw, and I'm losing my interest in SmackDown. There's nothing here, and I'm one of the hugest wrestling fans you'll ever run into. But I can't make, you know, chocolate cake out of cow shit, and that's what you're giving me. I'm sorry. It's not the performer's fault. It's just these are terrible storylines, terrible booking decisions. I'm watching people be ruined. How do you expect me to take Karrion Kross seriously? Just please answer me that question. How am I supposed to take Karrion Kross seriously as a force to be reckoned with? Explain. How am I supposed to take Keith Lee as a force to be reckoned with? How am I supposed to take Piper Niven or Doudrop as a force to be reckoned with? Huh? Do you realize that Damian Priest has only lost once? And that was on a two-on-one match by cheating. Karrion Kross has lost two out of three times. Let that sink in. You're protecting Damian Priest more than your NXT champion and your former NXT champion. Let that sink in. You're self-destructing, and you're doing it. I think you're doing it on purpose. I can't think of any other thing. No one is this stupid. It's like someone who's destroying their own toys before they die. You know, there was a great author, Agatha Christie. And when Agatha Christie knew she was getting extraordinarily old and she didn't have long on earth and she wasn't much into writing, you know what she did? She took all of her popular detectives, Hercule Poirot, Miss Marple, and she killed them off. And she said, the reason I'm going to kill them off is because I don't want nobody else using them when I'm gone. That's what this is starting to feel like. It's starting to feel like Vince McMahon saying, I'm going to kill this. I'm the one who created it, and I'm going to kill it. Because it's dying. I spent more time looking around on my phone, seeing what people were saying on the internet about this horrible show than I did actually watching it, because there was nothing to be interested in. Oh, occasionally I'd say, okay, I'm interested in this. Let me see what happens. Here we go again. I watched the whole Charlotte Flair and Nikki Cross match because it kept my interest. It's the only thing in the show that kept my interest. There's nobody to like. Drew McIntyre's not likable anymore. There's nobody to like. There's nobody to root for. There's nobody to live vicariously through. There's no storylines to make you say, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? There's nothing. It's the flattest, dullest, most boring, lack of personality show I have ever seen in a wrestling setting. Now, in SmackDown, it's not quite as bad. You've got some people with some personality. You just lost one of the guys with the biggest personality and, by the way, the most creative drive. I thought this guy would be a lifer. I thought for sure Bray Wyatt would be a lifer because I thought he was somebody that they were going to say, look, when the gimmicks get old and he can no longer cut the mustard, this guy, we can put him right into creative, and man, you know, we got somebody. So I thought he was going to be a lifer. When you let somebody like that go, it's almost like saying game over. You know, if you're playing chess, sometimes you're going to sacrifice a pawn or two. Sometimes you might even sacrifice a rook. You don't sacrifice the queen. You don't sacrifice the bishops, you know. You need them. And that's what Vince McMahon is doing now. He's sacrificing some of his major players. And he just doesn't seem to care. And Mike, I can't imagine that he doesn't know that doing so is going to hurt this federation.
Right. And that's the thing. Think about it like this. There was a time when I thought that Triple H was fighting for Raw and SmackDown, you know, and trying to get his guys in there and doing this and maybe changing the direction. Well, apparently what I'm seeing here is that he's been beat down so much by Bruce Pritchard and more likely by Vince himself that, one, we hardly ever see Stephanie anymore, and two, he's just saying, well, maybe I can just go over to NXT and just make whatever I can do with NXT, you know, because it just appears to me that way. And look, as far as Bray and them go, think about this. Without Luke Harper, but you can still have two out of the three, you know, three out of the four people in there. I mean, if I'm Bray Wyatt and they come to me and they say, we won't want you, I'm going to say, look, if you want me, then you're going to have to bring in Braun and bring back Big Man there, the other one. And you get
yeah,
a deal
listen,
that.
The, give him apparently the WWE probably, well, I think the WWE did to an extent, but maybe not to the extent he wanted. One thing AEW will probably give Bray Wyatt is more creative control. I think they gave Bray Wyatt a tremendous amount of creative control as far as what his character looked like and did and said. I don't think they gave him any control at all over the booking, because I don't see Bray Wyatt agreeing to lose this many matches as the Fiend. He had to know it was self-destructive. So my thought was they probably said, all of those funhouse things you can write and with you and a couple of guys that you trust to write, you can come up with the gimmick, you can come up with the look, how you dress, how the funhouse looks, all that stuff can be you and a couple of guys that you trust. As far as whether you win or lose, you get no say over that. I truly believe that must have been the deal. Now, AEW will give him a little bit of that. I think they'll give him a little bit of that. I think he's probably going to go. Now, that's just my surmise. I'm much more confident than Ric Flair is, because no one asks out of their Legends contract to do nothing. What do you think Ric Flair said? I don't want you to pay me anymore for doing nothing. I'd rather just do nothing and not get paid. Does that sound reasonable? No. So quite obviously, he's had an offer. Quite obviously, there's been something put on the table, and he said, I want to do this, and I can't now unless I get out of this contract. So I'm pretty sure Ric Flair's heading there. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I don't care if he's 70 years old. The moment that that pops up on your TV screen or your computer screen, Ric Flair is All Elite. The storyboard's starting to change. Storyboard's starting to change fast. And Vince McMahon can belittle it and poo-poo it all he wants to and say, no competition, no competition. You better watch it. Because now you're not letting your pawns get taken so that you can go after bigger prey. Now you got sloppy, and they're starting to take your major men. And you can't afford it because you don't have that many. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you on Friday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.